CBS Monday.
NCIS!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is our mega preview pod for this week's AT&T Byron Nelson. It's storylines, it's our best bets, it's our one-and-done picks, it's everything, and it is, of course, brought to you by Sonos Arc. It's the premium smart soundbar for TV, movies, music, gaming, and more. Stay tuned for additional details about Sonos Arc later in today's show. But for right now, let me bring in the coach. What up, coach?
I'm good. I'm fired up. Thank goodness. Finally, the bosses realized that we need more of the coach. We need more of KP. We need more of Rick G. So they've said, Mark, Greg, just stay away from
the That's exactly how that went.
Verbatim. That is Kyle Porter right there. KP, welcome. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I was talking to somebody about this last night. We're kind of in this lull, right, between the Masters and the PGA. Like, we're all locked in, but I think everybody else is experiencing, like, I'm going to play golf, I'm getting outside, and I'm interested to see how the next 2 weeks go, just in terms of people kind of getting locked back in for the PGA Championship. So I'm pumped about it. I'm ready for a good two-week run after coming off the Rory win, and it should be a lot of fun.
It's a valid point, Coach. The weather warming up certainly in a lot of places. People maybe not focusing on golf, but we're going to smack them in the face with a great field this week. Yep. And then, of course, Kiowa next week. I mean, this is we're in the thick of it here. Hopefully other people start to pay attention.
I think it was Kyle on Twitter. I believe it may be somebody I know because I follow them that said golf couldn't be any better than it is right now. You've had Jordan win. Then we have Rory win, the kind of two guys that have been struggling for the last couple of years. And now it leads right into what's going to be a tremendous week because a lot of big time names have set out for a month and playing this week. And then we got the PGA next week. I think the next 3 months could be the best 3 months of golf that we've had maybe in years. I think that's how good it's going to be.
I have an answer in my head. I've got one stored in here. But if we're going to try to go full fever pitch for the PGA Championship, who wins this week to create that fever pitch?
Interesting. To create it, it has to be Brooks.
Brooks
has to be the guy.
It has to be Brooks.
It has to be Brooks.
Just go heavyweight bout Brooks and Rory and JT and DJ and Rahm and Bryson. Just like bookmakers would just have to make them all 8-1 and say, you guys figure it out because they're all here and they're all playing.
There is no question.
I think John Rahm's up there too. He hasn't won this calendar year. What's his last win? Was it at
BMW?
It was the FedEx Cup, the long putt.
Yeah, I think it was BMW. He hasn't won since then, which for him is like going, you know, 3 years without a win. He wins two or three times a year. I think he's won at least three times a year for the last 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I think him winning at Byron Nelson would be, especially coming off the missed cut, would be up there as well.
Yeah, he won BMW Championship, which was a 5-start stretch in which he won twice because he won the Memorial previous to that. Kyle is absolutely right. He won 3 times in 17, 3 times in 18, 3 times in 19, twice in 2020, but we'll give him some slack because we missed 3 months there. Yeah. So we're willing to cut him some slack there. Still looking for that first win here in 2021. So if he wants to get to 3 or multiple wins, he better get going. Let's go.
Real quick. I know we don't like to discount or we like to discount things that are off the course, but Rick, I don't think you have a kid yet, right? You don't.
No.
But I know KP has a football.
Many.
So remember when you had your first kid? I don't care what else you were doing. If you're trying to write your articles, you're trying to do your work for whoever you were working for at that time, how difficult it was to concentrate. And I was thinking about that last week about John Rahm as I'm piling him in my head-to-heads and all this. I'm like, wait a second. I need to take a step back because This dude is heavily involved in being a dad. The kid is a month old, right before the Masters, and that affects your sleep patterns when you get up, all that kind of thing. And so I think we need to give him somewhat of a pass for what he's going through at home.
Yeah, and he kind of talked about that at Zurich, right, when he was playing with Ryan Palmer, and he was like, look, like, there were times when Palmer carried me. You know, I can't remember. I think it was on Friday or whatever, and he just talked about how he's not – now, I do think the one thing that Rahm has going for him is that he's not the type – he's not like a the psycho, like type A, like everything has to be very orderly. I think he can kind of roll out of bed and go shoot a 65, right?
I agree.
So I think what you're saying is right. It is affecting, but it's not like it would be if it was, I don't know, Spieth seems like the kind of guy I just described, or yeah, somebody like that.
I've got to do half the diapers. I've got to be up to half the diapers.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand completely what you're saying.
For sure. Living with Spieth sounds exhausting, quite frankly. I could not.
Well, nobody, he didn't live with anybody for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he probably drove himself crazy. That's right. Wow. We're going to talk about that. That's part of our storyline. So let's not jump into that quite yet, because I got to let you know that CBS Sports HQ is rocking and rolling this week. And as always, CBS Sports HQ is your home to start your sports news day with live updates kicking off each morning at 8 a.m. Eastern. And HQ is always your home ahead of the evening's action with live picks from the best analysts and cappers in the sports world each day at 6 p.m. Eastern time. On Wednesday, NFL experts will be breaking down the 2021 schedule, and our cappers will be making Preakness picks ahead of Saturday's race. So check out HQ on your computer on cbssports.com or via the CBS Sports app on your mobile phone or TV. It's always free and it's always on. Gentlemen, we've been doing this segment called Raising the Bar. It's presented by Sonos Arc. And the topic for today is Matt Fitzpatrick, the Englishman. He's going to be playing this week at TPC Craig Ranch. And I've made the argument, Coach, that he is the most improved player on tour. And I've got the stats to back it up. I'll hold on to those for just a second. But what I've seen with the eye test with Matt Fitzpatrick is it doesn't seem to matter what course anymore. It doesn't seem to matter if it should be a good fit or a bad fit for him. We kind of talk about this a little bit on the show. He just finds a way to put the ball in the cup.
I think I have the number one reason why he has raised the level, because everything you just said, he's been doing for some time. But when he made the decision to play the PGA Tour full time and stop going back and forth, going to all the big tournaments overseas, then coming back here, cherry picking two or three here, it seems like whenever a big-time European name says, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to find a house, I'm going to live in the United States, and this is what I'm going to do, that they tend to raise the level of their games. He's also, he picks the right tournaments to play in. And he's a wind player. Because he's from Europe, he knows all too well how to play in the wind, how to keep the ball, raise the ball, trajectory, all that kind of stuff. And he always figures out a way to make the big putt. And I'm done fading him. Because every time that I do, it doesn't matter. And now we're starting to see, am I right, guys? He's in much bigger head-to-head matchups. You're seeing him head-to-head against much bigger names. That's how I kind of quantify where Vegas thinks that a player is by who they give him to go head up with every single week. And Fitzpatrick is now, as far as that is concerned, in the elite of the PGA Tour because he makes the big putts, because he can play anywhere. And I think all those reasons are why.
William Hill gave him Hideki Matsuyama this week. Our reigning Masters champion is what William Hill said.
There you go.
We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But KP, he's our number 17 ranked player in the world. I was diving into the numbers earlier. So I compared 2020 to 2021 strokes gained total. That's the metric we're using here. There are 9 golfers who gained at least a stroke per round last year and improved it this year. There's only 9 of them. It is led by Bryson DeChambeau. He saw a 58% increase, which is bonkers. And number 2 is Matt Fitzpatrick. Last year, he gained 1.06 strokes per round, and right now he's gaining 1.6, a half a stroke a round. It sounds small, but that is a massive increase for a golfer who already had a really great baseline.
I bet Corey Connors is in there as well.
Corey Connors was Yeah, so he did not gain one stroke per round last year, but he was like the biggest. He was like the biggest gainer. Yeah,
yeah. So the Fitzpatrick thing is interesting because I've got Data Golf open right now, and if you look at the top 30 guys for 2021 in terms of strokes gained, so this is roughly the 30 best guys in the world so far in 2021. You can argue like the guys at the bottom, maybe whatever. It's roughly the 30 best guys. There's only two guys in here that are losing strokes on approach shots, right? Because that's the deal. Like, do you hit it close? And you know, we can talk about off the tee. That's incredibly important. But PGA Tour, professional golf, it's always been, are you a good iron player? The only two guys that are losing strokes on approach shots are Brian Harman. This is in the top 30. And Matthew Fitzpatrick. And here's what's weird about Fitzpatrick. You know what my comp for him is, Rick? I just thought of this. I'm pretty proud of it because I just thought of it. And I don't think you would ever guess it. Jason Day. So...
version of Jason Day? Yeah, like what?
It sounds crazy, but if you look at Jason Day from like 14 to 17, he was awesome off the tee, and he was an unbelievable putter. He was probably the best putter in the world. But his iron play, like his approach play in that stretch, it was better than Fitzpatrick's. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it wasn't like a Spieth is right now, or like a Corey Connors or a Xander or a John Rahm or somebody like that. He was just unbelievable off the tee. And then he putted the lights out. I mean, he was the best putter in the world for like three or four straight years. And that's kind of the profile of what we're seeing with Fitzpatrick. I wouldn't ever put those two guys together just in terms of when I think about them, the style that they play or their swings or whatever, but statistically they look pretty similar. If you look at where Day was as the number one player in the world.
I think there's also a little bit of, I don't want to say disrespect, coach, but maybe people who just don't realize it because he's still, am I right? He's still looking for his first PGA Tour victory. He's got four wins. No, he's got six wins on the European Tour. And still looking to hoist a trophy on the PGA Tour. He just won at the end of 2020, the DP World Tour. That's a big event on the European Tour. Everybody goes over there for that. And also, he kind of just like looks like my accountant, coach. So like, well, I don't, you know, it's like if you walked into him on the street, you would probably not even know who he was.
He looks like he could, you know, deliver your pizza as well on a Tuesday night. There's a lot of reasons why people discount him. His personality is not one that says, look at me, look at me, look at me. He doesn't show that a lot of things bother him. He's the type of player that is not as bad as a Patrick Cantlay, because that's always my example when it comes to show me that you want to be here. Show me that you care. Show me that you're excited to get it done. I think the lack of that is a big reason why people don't, when they look at a certain event and Matthew Fitzpatrick is in the event, say, you know what? That's a dude that could win. Because until he or Finau, but he has a much better resume than Finau because he's won other places in big events. Finau has not. But those are the type of names that we look at and say, well, they just can't get the job done because they haven't yet. But now that he's here full time, I think that will change. I think it will change rather quickly over the course of the next year or so.
Here are the six wins, KP, which is, it's kind of weird. He's won the DP World Tour twice. So he's won that same event two times. His other four victories all have the word Masters in it. So he's won the British Masters, the Nordea Masters, and then the Omega European Masters twice. That's like weird.
It is. I think that... I don't know. I mean,
what'd you say?
I don't know.
I think that was our first one of the, it took 13 and a half minutes, but I think we found it.
I didn't even mean to do that. I wish I did. I wish I did it on purpose. I have a hard time, like the exchange rate. How many PGA Tour wins is a European Tour win worth? And they're not all created equal, right? Like the DP World Tour is way different than the Nordea Masters. They're just the fields there completely, because the DP World Tour, he's beaten Rory, Rahm. Like, it's a real field. It's big time stuff. So I don't know. I mean, it's a little, we've seen this from guys like Tyrrell Hatton, right? Where they come over and you know, what Fitzpatrick hasn't been very good at the majors. I think he only has one top 10 at a major. I think it was the 16 Masters. He finished like T7 or something like that. T8, T4.
Correct. He has one top 10, 2016 Masters, T7, Kyle Porter. Yes.
Wow, KP.
So there's a little bit of like, okay, you've done great on the European Tour. You've won a lot. That's meaningful. But also, like, the European Tour and Korn Ferry Tour aren't that different in terms of if you look at them as a whole. So do we look at somebody who's won six times on the Korn Ferry Tour and say, man, great player, great global player? Not, I mean, maybe.
I do.
It's hard to win six times on the Korn Ferry Tour.
Yeah, because you would have graduated by then. Yeah, it's actually really, it's like having the minor league baseball home run record. It's hard to stay down there that long.
So you want to see, I mean, Terrell Hatton's missed the cut at the last three or four majors. Like you want to, yes, what Fitzpatrick has done is impressive. And I think, I don't even think you're wrong. Like, I think he is either the most improved or one of the most improved. And he just keeps proving it. We keep saying, oh, it's, you know, putting. And it's like, well, he keeps finishing T11, T8, T4. But you do want to see it at the majors. And you want to see, you know, same thing with Finau, you know, win a tour event, win a PGA Tour event.
There is, we'll put a bow on it with this, coach. There is one way that we can try to compare what the European Tour exchange rate is, as Kyle put it, is to look at the strength of field and how many points the official World Golf Ranking allotted to the winner. So for his 2020 win in Dubai, just at the end of last year, he got 46 points. That is the same number that Siwoo Kim got for winning the American Express this year. So that's kind of the exchange rate.
I think that's pretty, you know, it's pretty accurate. I mean, it's obviously not the same. I also think that playing the European Tour, if they had more money, I think it'd be very, very attractive, because I've traveled extensively overseas, and when you go to an event in a country, that's a really big event to that country, which is different than here in the United States, where you're going state to state. But when you go to Austria, they're waiting for you, and I think that the anticipation kind of makes it a little bit different and bigger than a Korn Ferry Tour event, but I think it's all very comparable. And I think now all of this discussion is nice, but the fact that he's here full time, we're going to see, is he up to snuff or is he not? And I think that's why him and his team have decided to do this.
Great pedigree, by the way. He won the USAM as well.
Were you?
Did you see him at the Walker Cup?
Yeah, he looked with the bucket cap and the sun sleeves, and he had the phone charger in his back pocket, and it was the whole thing.
He looked like us out there. He looked like a media member out there.
Were you surprised, KP, to hear that 46 points was the like winning the American Express?
Yes. Yeah. Now I think there we go. If you're watching on YouTube, he's got the, okay. So it's one thing. He's got the Under Armour, whatever. Like that's to be expected. He's got the whatever Pro TV on his left sleeve. There you go.
First of all, it's probably all he owns. And also I, when the contract negotiations came up, I'd be like, look, I wear this stuff all the time. I'm super valuable to you. It's not just on the course. I walk around in this gear.
I do like that bucket hat. I would wear one of those.
What is it? What course is
Seminole?
That? Oh, okay. I couldn't see the logo.
That's the Walker Cup.
By the way, real quick, because you guys bring up a good point. I know this is completely off subject. Were you guys all surprised that on the Sunday that everybody wore red for Tiger, that some of the players said, I didn't have any sponsor shirts made in red, so I couldn't wear one? That one day you can't wear a shirt that doesn't have all your stuff all over it for Tiger? I thought that was a little bit strange and bad. I know that's completely off subject, but I was
not surprised by that, because I know that these guys, like I don't really expect them to have that available. Now, I guess you could make the argument, well, go to Golf Galaxy or go
that's
to
what
whatever
I'm you can
and
do
pick
that
up a red shirt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. For one day, your sponsor goes, hey, I'll give you Sunday. I'll give you Sunday. But apparently that just doesn't happen. Contracts are too rock solid. Now, if somebody pays you $20 million, I get it.
This might be a we don't understand how contracts work situation. You know, one of those. You know, us idiots over here. Yes, I was surprised to hear that. I think, you know, part of it the DP, the tour, whatever, their tour championship is, it's a small field, right? I think it's 60 guys or 50 guys.
It's somewhere around there. Yeah. It's like
so I think I think that plays into it as well. But yeah, I mean, look, the European Tour is, I heard the guys on the No Line Up podcast talking about this. It's not, it, I like it. I think it's interesting. I think a ton of, I mean, you know, you see Rory come up over there. Like there's a ton of meaningful stuff that happens on the European Tour, but I think the way that we think about it is being way better than like the Korn Ferry and more comparable to the PGA Tour. And it's just not like, maybe that was true 20 years ago or 30 years ago, but that's not the reality right now. I mean, if you just look at some of the, not only the guys coming off of European versus Korn Ferry, but also just some of the numbers. Datagolf has some good numbers. Like they're pretty comparable in terms of like where guys stand in comparison to the PGA Tour. So I think that's a meaningful thing when you're talking about Europeans that are kind of migrating onto the PGA Tour.
All right, that's our Raising the Bar segment. It's presented by Sonos. You can go to Sonos.com, get yourself a Sonos Arc soundbar. I don't give out a lot of Rick Rungood recommendations. This is certainly one of them. This thing gives you surround sound from a soundbar. It's unbelievable. We've got, I don't want to call this a PGA Championship tune-up, gentlemen, because it's the week before a major championship, and I think we're always quick to be like, it's a tune-up for whatever. These guys are going to get in contention. They're going to try to win. And what might make that a bit more difficult, or at least hinder the practice time, coach, is we find out Jordan Spieth had COVID. You know, he did the 2-week quarantine or the 10-day quarantine. He said kind of knocked him on his butt for a day, and then he had lingering effects for a while. And now, if this is a tune-up into the PGA Championship, we have to remember this is probably Jordan's best crack at completing the career Grand Slam in a handful of years.
I wonder if there was ever the thought process, and we don't know exactly when he started feeling better, if there was ever, because of what is at stake next week, if he ever thought about not playing this week because of energy, all that kind of things. I've talked to a lot of people who've had COVID, and they say it just takes your energy more than anything else. And when you're out there trying to play a golf tournament 2 weeks in a row, and you're in Texas, and you know there's going to be a lot of extra media obligations, I just wonder. I seriously doubt if he ever did, because he never misses an event in Texas. And he's now back at the top of his game. I'm going to be very, very interested, guys, to see how he comes out of the blocks on Thursday. Because if he comes out and he really gets that mojo going, then I'm going to feel confident in what he can do for the rest of this week and leading in to next week. If he looks very sluggish, lethargic, just doesn't have a lot of energy, and he's not getting his swing through, he doesn't have the swing speed that he normally has, which is going to mean the ball's going to go to the right a lot, then I'd be very concerned about what he could do next week.
KP, let's bring you in here on the Jordan Spieth conversation. Coach makes a good point. We heard from Webb Simpson, the fatigue, especially when he started to walk courses again. He was like, well, I'm out of breath here. It was like walking a lot. We're entering a very important stretch of golf for Spieth. It's the PGA Championship, an opportunity to close out the career Grand Slam. It's of course then a bunch of the summer of golf is phenomenal. And he's playing arguably better than anybody. Like this is good stuff for Spieth if he can be healthy playing into it.
Yeah, he's been the best player in the world so far in 2021. If you look at strokes gained stuff, can you imagine? I was thinking about this. If he'd gotten COVID like 2 weeks earlier,
no,
can't play the Masters.
No, right after the win.
I think. Oh my God. Gosh, that would have been insane. I think one of the hardest things to do in golf is to go on just a torrid run, especially when you're kind of a momentum guy, like it seems like Spieth is, and then end it with a great performance at a major, and then take a month off and try to get it all back. It just, I don't know. Is he going to, I think he's reestablished a really high baseline for himself going forward, but it's just, my expectations are not super high this week. He doesn't play well at the Byron Nelson generally. Some of that is, okay, it's a new course. Maybe that changes things. But I think a lot of it is like he really wants to win in Dallas. I think that's a meaningful thing to him to do at some point in his career. He's never finished in the top 10 there. His best finish is when he was 16 or 17 or whatever he was, 15. He finished T16 in 2010 when he was an amateur, when he was in high school, I think. And that's his best finish ever, I think, at the Byron Nelson. One of his best finishes ever. And I don't know. I mean, he even said it. He's like, I'm just trying to kind of knock some rust off for Kiowa because as big a deal as winning the Byron Nelson is, winning the Career Slam,
oh, big time.
Whether it's in Dallas or South Carolina or whatever, is obviously a much bigger deal.
Five golfers have completed the modern Grand Slam, and Mark would kill me if I left off Bobby Jones' original Grand Slam. He's in there as well. There is, I don't want to give this away, but KP, I feel like this is right up your alley here. There is how many majors? Okay, so I want the guy who has the most major titles without completing the career Grand Slam.
Walter Hagen with 11.
Yeah, Walter Hagen with 11. I knew you'd get there. Imagine that, 11 majors, never won the Masters. That's the one he's missing.
Wow.
That's wild.
I mean,
why is that usually the one? Why do you think that's the one?
Well, it gets in your head.
For Rory?
He also probably won a lot of them before the Masters was invented.
That's
right?
True,
like in the teens. Correct. And 20s.
Yes. So he, the Masters was founded in 1934. He already had one, two, three, all of them. All of them were before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So that does make sense. But you're right, Coach. And I guess this might go for, I don't know, of the golfers who are current or who missed by one, who are one major away, there are 12 of them. Five are missing the Masters. Two are missing the U.S. Open. Two are missing the Open Championship. Three are missing the PGA Championship.
I wonder why that is. I guess there could be a lot of reasons, but I personally believe that's the tournament above all others, that's what people want to win the most. And it's also at the same place. So if your game doesn't match up with that particular golf course,
that's
going to be hard to win there.
And it gets in your head, man. Like that place gets in your, I mean, go read Ernie Els's quotes on anything related to Augusta. And it's like, it just wears you down mentally to not have won there. And maybe it is because it's the same place, right? So you have to keep going back and it keeps frustrating you. And that's a little bit of what Rory is run into. By the way, I dug up this stat about Rory after he won Wells Fargo. If he wins Kiowa next week, he's part of this 25 club, which is 20 PGA Tour wins and five majors. And there's only 12 other guys that have done it, which is insane. Like that's an insane number of guys for him to potentially join next weekend.
Wow. We'll give Jim Barnes a pass on missing the Masters. His career was done before that tournament was founded. So we'll give him a pass. Lee Trevino missing that one. Rory McIlroy obviously missing that one. Tommy Armour and Walter Hagen round out the guys missing the Masters. You want to keep going, KP? There's most majors who's and the guys missing the U.S. Open.
is it easy?
No, Phil. It's not Phil Mickelson.
So he's got five. So there's somebody after Nick Faldo.
No.
Oh, did he win the U.S. Open?
I don't know. Well, he has six though, right?
He has three Masters and three Open Championships.
Correct.
Well, then he's missing two.
He's missing two.
These are just missing one, and the one is the U.S. Open. No.
Floyd didn't have enough.
Sam Snead. Sam Snead never won the U.S. Open, seven major championships.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Okay, gentlemen, here's what we're going to do. We got to do betting cards. We've got to do one and done. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The rest is football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
And we're back. CBS Sports and Westinghouse are teaming up to give away two portable power stations over the next month. Go to cbssports.com/hole-in-one to enter. We'll put the link in the episode description. The contest ends May 24th at cbssports.com/hole-in-one. No purchase necessary, 18 or older only, and you must reside in the United States of America. Betting cards, gentlemen, let's go into our little contest here. So this is where we take 100 units over to William Hill and we decide how we are going to best divvy those up. I'm going to give Jacob just 1 second here. We're going to pull up Coach's betting card first. So Coach, I'm looking at your betting card and I see some interesting options. Let's start with your matchups. Two matchups that I see and then a three ball. So here we go. Scottie Scheffler over Brooks Koepka, Cameron Champ over Ricky Fowler, and then Daniel Berger in a three ball over Koepka and Leishman. So two fades of Koepka this week.
A couple of reasons why. A, just rust, and the last time I saw him, he couldn't bend over. So that to me was a pretty easy fade.
It's true.
I wish I would have seen these Koepka matchups. I would have faded him as well. I didn't see him.
Oh, what? They're always kind of hidden because you go to 3-3-3-2. But yeah. I think Scheffler could win this week. So if that's the case, and I think Koepka is not going to make the cut, this was easy for me, even though I'm laying 34 cents, then anytime, and I know I'm rough on Ricky Fowler, but he has to – and you know what? I don't feel bad because when you're worth $50 or $100 million, you should be able to take this. And he's got to show me that he's got his game back. Last week, somebody on Twitter decided to do what you never do. Tweet me on Thursday when he shot, a 69, 2-under. Then he comes back Friday, he shoots like a 78. Stop it. Just stop it. Fowler right now doesn't know if he's hitting the ball left. He doesn't know if he's hitting the ball right. Cameron Champ has been sneaky good the last couple of months. He's just nobody's talking about him. So I'm only laying 5 cents. Fowler is the actual favorite in this matchup. That's mind-blowing to me. That's crazy to me.
The Thursday victory laps are from people who do not watch golf. Like, have you ever seen golf before? Like, at one minute of it? Like, this is, there's too many holes left for this. your card then moves to a couple of top 20s, Coach. Charles Schwartzel, +188. And then your best bet is Will Zalatoris back in Texas, -110. Both of those guys finished inside the top 20.
His last, I'm throwing his last tournament out because he was worn out. He had just come off a second place finish at the Masters, and the RBC just, it's not a course that fits his game, and he was exhausted anyway. So I'm throwing that out. And so he's going to be rested. He's been off for a month. -110, top 20, I'll take that all day. Charles Schwartzel, I put him in the category, guys, of a Charlie Hoffman, a Ryan Palmer, a Stuart Sink, guys that have said to themselves in the mirror when they're alone, enough of these young dudes that want to take our spots. All right? Enough of the Morikawas, the Zalatorises, the Hovlands. We're staying. And Schwartzel has reminded us all why he won a green jacket. Because the last few weeks, he's been in the top 20 almost every single week. So for me, this was easy. And I'm getting +188. Rick, I'll take that all day.
What do you say in front of the mirror to yourself, Coach, when no one's around?
You're beautiful. You're handsome.
He probably says, give me Paul Casey.
give me Paul Casey.
This is too easy.
This is the God honest truth that when I speak to, I do a lot of speaking to school, and I say all the time, if you're not practicing in the mirror and you want to be in this business, then you're not maximizing your abilities to succeed. I've been on national TV for 20 damn years, and I still practice in the mirror. I do.
Yeah,
I do. You have to learn how to speak and fluctuate and enunciate all those things. And you only can do it by practicing. That's it.
I say it's so unique. It's so New York.
Watch yourself, too.
red leather, yellow.
You gotta watch yourself too. Yeah,
it's so hard.
Two winners, coach, for you. One, Jordan Spieth to come out of Group C. Group C is Spieth, Kepka, yep, Siwoo Kim, Schwartzel, Mitchell. That's Keith Mitchell and Ricky Fowler to come out of Group C. And then your other winner is the more traditional outright at 18-1, Scotty Scheffler.
I don't normally do that because I don't like giving out winners because it's too hard. But I just thought my gut tells me that there's been a theme for every winner the last few weeks and a really good storyline. And I thought to myself, what would be the best storyline coming out of this event? And to me, it would be Scotty Scheffler winning in the state of Texas and finally getting his first tour win.
Spoiler alert, you're going to hear Scotty Scheffler's name more as this show goes on. We'll go to my betting card next, producer Jacob, which also has a Scotty Scheffler sighting. I'll start there. Scotty Scheffler 18-1 also on my card. I went with the old Brooks Koepka KP, and I was actually thinking about something you said last week. You said it starts with a two in front of it for Rory McIlroy. And I see a two. In fact, I see two twos, 22-1 for Brooks Koepka to win this golf tournament. I assume if he's playing, he's healthy. And if he's healthy, he's dangerous.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, man. I think the logic is good. I don't know. I keep doing it. I can't help it. I think the logic there is good. It's just, I'm not totally sure if he's healthy. Right. Sure. I think that I don't know. Maybe you're right. Like, maybe he wouldn't play at all if he wasn't completely healthy, but you're still coming in after not having played in a month. Your game was not, I mean, I can't get the image of him trying to crawl up the whatever hole that was at Augusta, 13, the green. It's like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? I don't disagree with the logic. I just don't know that I agree with the premise that if he plays, he's healthy.
Fair enough. Those are my two small outrights. And then I went back to the bread and butter. Three matchups. I'm going with Keith Mitchell, who phenomenal last week. I don't care about the result on Sunday over Jason Day. Even money there. I took the aforementioned Matt Fitzpatrick -120 over Hideki Matsuyama. Even if you throw out the concerns around Hideki and how much practice time he's had, we discussed ad nauseum how great Matt Fitzpatrick has been. And then, coach, I'm going right back to Sam Burns. I mean, he is fresh off a win. He had a week off. I have him over Sergio Garcia. And I think Craig Ranch, for as little as we know about it, be long off the tee, hit your irons well. That's what Sam Burns does.
I think what Sam Burns showed us the first 3 months of the year is he had what it takes to win. And then he did win. And the way that he won was very, very impressive. That he stayed steady on Sunday and made birdies, which I thought was very, very cool. And I think he's the type of player that all he needed was a win to just open the can. And we're going to start seeing him at the top of leaderboards at all different kinds of courses and putting him in head-to-heads, laying a quarter over Sergio. I like that a lot.
Why are you fading Sergio, Rick?
Is it
more about Burns?
It's more about Burns, but I do also think that odds makers are still not smart. So I think they literally pull up Wiki and they're like, oh, Sergio's won this event twice. Let's give him a boost. Let's put him in a matchup.
No, that they don't do that.
Absolutely, really? They do.
Kyle, absolutely, you would be stunned. Because they're not trying to predict the outcome. They're trying to spread the money out. And if Sergio Garcia he's a known entity, people know who he is, we can put him in a matchup against guys that are much better than he is. It's all about spreading the money.
I got one number to tell you, Kyle, to prove Rick G's point. This week, Doug Gim head up against Vincent Whaley. What do you think that number is?
Vincent Whaley's a cup making machine.
Doug Gim is -170 over Vincent Whaley. Doug Gim, the same guy who 5 weeks ago had no status, couldn't get into anything.
Because Doug Gim is very popular in DFS and betting circles. And they know they can get it from him.
Yes. But once
you're previewing my card, coach.
Oh, my bad.
And there's an argument to be made. There's an argument to be made that nobody should be -170 over anybody. Golf is like that random. Like, that's a huge number.
Correct. Yeah, that is. So, that's interesting.
It's not much of a fade of Sergio, but I do think there's a little bit of it. I do like Burns regardless. I think it's a good spot for him. We have Greg's betting card. Greg called it in. Greg's a caller. For those who don't know, Greg likes to hop on the phone.
Literally called it in.
Literally called it in to producer Jacob. And boys, we got the kiss of death going here. Scotty Scheffler on every single card so far. This is either going to be the greatest Sunday recap when we all are on Scotty Scheffler, or this dude is slamming his trunk on Friday and we've just applied the kiss of death to him.
Why did everybody? I mean, as I was going through it, he's been fine. He hasn't been lights out. He's been good. And we all picked him.
I think that's nuts. And none of us talked to each other either.
Usually do this either. We usually find different people, but we have all circled Scotty Scheffler this week.
Wow, that's crazy.
I can hop in here and say I was laughing the entire time Greg was sending in these picks because they're identical to everything else. And he was in the car. He had no idea what we were saying or taping. This was in the silent booth. Like, he had the headphones on and he came to the same conclusion. So he hit fast money, jeweler.
This feels problematic.
We're in for a great Sunday.
Does feel problematic. So Greg's card, Scotty Scheffler to win. That's 20-1. Coach, you also went with Bryson to win 8-1. I'm not a fan of necessarily going this short, but
I hate it. This feels like a good spot for him.
Okay. Tell me.
No, it's a good spot for him to win, but okay. if you're trying to win money or win points or whatever the competition is, picking somebody plus 800 you're just wasting $20. Because even if you win, you're not winning that much.
It's like Rory last week at 20 or Bryson this week at 8. Correct. Right? Like if you can get the 20, get it.
You grab it.
But the 8 is like, I don't know.
I wonder what he would have been, KP, if he wouldn't have made the cut.
Bryson?
Yeah. Think about that. He goes, missed cut, go back home to Dallas, T9 instead. That's a big difference.
What if he just would have withdrawn?
What if
not gone back?
Somebody did that. I don't want to throw Pat Perez under the bus, but I feel like Pat Perez did that where he miscalculated the cut line, realized he made and he withdrew. He didn't fly back.
Let's be honest. Pat Perez does not have private jet money like Bryson has private jet.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But he's got a shoe collection.
Yes, he does.
He could buy a private jet if he sold his shoes. He owns like a million pairs of Jordans.
How great was that when Bryson says, "Well, as all of you know, the crew just can't turn around and fly me back. You know, they've got to rest."
Yeah, I like that he said, sure. I went up to ask the pilots if we could turn around. Like, I've never talked to a pilot in my life. Let me tell you that for free. I don't just walk up there and chat with them. So
why couldn't they turn around?
They never
because they didn't have a gas. I have flown on a lot. This is true. I've flown on a lot of private jets because for about 3 years, I was like Vince McMahon's right-hand guy. And he has a private jet. So I flew with him all the time. And as great as it is, there are certain rules that you have to live by. And that's gas has to be in the plane to fly. And hours are essential. And pilots just can't fly a certain period of time. So
first time in years, Bryson hadn't had enough firepower to get somewhere.
What about the fact that he got a workout in after dinner, went to bed at 8, and then took a flight at 2:45 a.m.
That is next level. He's an insane person. He's insane.
Yeah. I want to know how his caddy got back. Because remember, his caddy went to a different place. How did his caddy get back? Did he get him a private jet?
I don't know.
He probably hadn't flown out yet, right? No, I think he said his caddy had gone.
He said his caddy was gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Wow.
Yeah,
they picked him up on the way.
Maybe he did. I've done that before too.
Renting a car. Greg's betting card gets rounded out by Schwartzel over Westwood and Howell. That's his best bet. It's plus 155. Zalatoris top 10 and Leishman top 10. Those are paying out plus 210 and plus 275 respectively. And Greg took 5 bets all at 20 apiece. So he spread out the wealth. KP, it's time. It's time for your card, much smaller than normal. And let's see. I see 2 matchups, 2 top 20s. Oh, 3 matchups. Excuse me. Let's talk about the Doug Gim one. Doug Gim minus 105 over Carlos Ortiz.
Wow.
Okay. So this is partially a play of Gim, who is 6th in this field from tee to green over the last 2 months, but it's mostly a fade of Ortiz.
what you just described is why bettors love Doug Gim and why DFS players love Doug Gim.
I feel like I keep going back to him and it keeps not going that well, but Ortiz has been bad. Ortiz has missed, I think, four of his last six cuts. So it's a little bit of a fade of him. And then my other matchups, I'm basically looking at Rahm. So the Rahm Hideki Scheffler as Rahm against Scheffler heads up, and Rahm's +120 against Scotty Scheffler. Cause I don't think Hideki's going to, I mean, is Hideki going to contend against Scotty Scheffler and John Rahm after not having touched a club in a month? That seems unlikely.
I agree. I agree.
And even though I'm picking Scheffler to win, spoiler, I'm still taking Rahm heads up against him in a matchup at +120. And then Bryson over Spieth and Fitzpatrick. That's mostly a fade of Spieth after the COVID thing. And then also, it just seems like a course that fits Bryson over Matthew Fitzpatrick, right? Now, no, again,
no, no rough, paper. No rough, no water. Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, but like, again, Fitzpatrick, I mean, Fitzpatrick contended at Memorial last year. So you're like,
every place that Fitzpatrick should not have contended, he contended at.
I know. So, and then I got Scheffler top 20 and Keith Mitchell top 20. I love the way That's Mitchell's cool. been playing. He's got two top 20s in his last three starts, hitting the ball really well. I actually like that he didn't really putt it that well on Sunday at Quail Hollow, because I think he keeps his number kind of a little bit artificially deflated going into this event.
Mitchell is like the buy low, which is crazy because he just finished third. It shouldn't happen, but the way he did it makes it a buy low. I do enjoy that quite a bit. Okay, let me run through these best bets here. My best bet, along with Sia's best bet, is Matthew Fitzpatrick over Hideki Matsuyama. Kyle went with Bryson DeChambeau in a three ball over Jordan Spieth and Matt Fitzpatrick. Greg went with Schwartzel in a three ball over Lee Westwood and Charles Howell +155. And Coach went with Will Zalatoris to finish inside the top 20. Those are our best bets for the week, which means it's time to go to our one and done picks for this week. And Mr. Coach, I'm looking at your results. You're at 2.4 million. You have had, unfortunately, three consecutive weeks of $0. We need something. We need you here, Coach.
Well, my theory of playing the guy I'm picking to win has clearly not been working. So if it happens four times in a row, I'm done. So I'm going Scotty Scheffler. I believe I still have him. I got to get my whole list. I've been traveling, and I feel like I'm on an absolute. I don't know if I'm coming or if I'm going. So I've got I have a book that I keep everything, and there's like a 3-week stretch where I forgot to write down who I played. So I think I can play Scotty Scheffler.
You can.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'm going to go with Scotty Scheffler then.
You can use Scotty Scheffler. You're at 2.4 million. We need you to catch up to producer Jacob, who is at 3.2 million. Jacob, you got 275,000 from Patrick Reed. That was pretty good last week. You got 125,000 from Justin Thomas the week before. So you are trying to keep the momentum rolling here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the JT pick got me a townhome, and then Patrick Reed just upgraded me to a nice condo in the city. So now we're going to go for the mansion in the Dallas suburbs with Scotty Scheffler, who we're all also picking. You know, I swear I put that in before I knew what Coach was picking.
Yeah.
But at least it feels like, you know, I got a sense that, you know, I don't know who KP's picking, but I can make ground on you guys if Scheffler has a better day than
that's the way I look at it too. I'm cool with you picking a jeweler.
Coach, I don't know if you heard this or not, but a couple of weeks ago they made an egregious, you know, suggestion to me on an episode you were on where they said you and I should just combine our totals.
I forgot about that.
That was insulting. That was insulting.
It is insulting. You know what else is insulting is that I consider us a team, right? Everybody's a team. And somebody came at me on Twitter this week and they said, Coach, how are you so far behind? Are you that stupid that you can't pick these things? And I said, wait a second. I didn't even start anywhere. I started, everybody else was like $3-4 million. Now, doesn't set aside the fact I've been atrocious the last few weeks, but I feel like I need to have like an asterisk or a side note next to my name, because I'm getting crushed when I didn't even start back in September like you guys did.
What you should push for is like not only a total, but an average. So like average per tournament, you've done like, I don't know, Rick, 20 tournaments. Rick, we've done like 32.
Rick, that still wouldn't help me.
I don't know. Because I just did the math. I don't know that's what he wants.
Yeah. He just wants an asterisk to say, this doesn't really count. Okay, awesome. So if we combined Coach and Jacob, they would still not be at Greg, who's at 6.6 million. And Greg is going to take, I think I can say this because this is locked in, Mark Leishman. Going with Leishman this week.
Okay.
Now, Kyle, you're in a very precarious position, sir, because you are only $150,000 clear of Greg, but you're only $29,000 behind Mark. Lots of shuffling here between you three. You got $0 from Max Homa, but that stopped a torrid stretch from you. Are you going to be able to get back on track this week?
Well, I hope so. I've already taken Scheffler twice this season, so I can't take him again.
He's not kidding. Yeah. He's taken, he loves Scheffler and Shoffley, I think, are guys you've just constantly taken.
I think I've taken Rom three times.
And Casey twice.
I don't have a ton of options here. Have I taken Berger? Do you have it pulled up?
I have it pulled up. Let me just look really quickly. I don't believe you have.
I don't want to take Spieth.
You can't take Spieth.
Did I take him?
Yeah, use him at the Masters. You told us 6 weeks in advance.
Oh yeah.
So you've used Spieth.
I took him at the. I think I took him for the Masters like last January, like January 2020.
Yeah. You have Berger available. You could use Berger.
I'm you can fill in Bryson for Torrey. I'm already playing that unless I've already used him. I probably have. I honestly might go with Keith Mitchell, which is just, it sounds ludicrous. But I might go with Burns. I just put me down for give me Keith Mitchell. Give me Keith Mitchell.
Keith Mitchell for KP. He's going to try to make up that ground to Mark, who has 6.7 million. And Mark has phoned in, I believe, his as well. He's also taking Mark Leishman. And I'm 1.2 million ahead or 1.4 million ahead. And spoiler alert, I'm also taking Mark Leishman. So we are pretty pretty weak this week. So we've got myself, Mark, and Greg taking Leishman, Jacob and Coach taking Scheffler, and Kyle out on his own taking Keith Mitchell. So we could see some movement this week.
I already hate my pick. I already want to change it.
You can change it if you want. We're still in the segment.
You can pick them. You can do a Mark Immelman and switch your pick.
I might go to, I don't know.
While you're thinking about that. And say, yeah, Tokyo Swan, loyal listener, viewer on YouTube, he chimed in and said, last time we all picked someone we jinxed Cantlay. We did end Patrick Cantlay's career at the Players, I believe.
There you go.
I think Tokyo Swan needs to shut it and listen.
Well, it could be a great username.
I'm pretty sure Tokyo Swan is the guy who comes in here every week and says Billy Horschel, and I was like, no. And then he finally went out and won the match play. I was like, oh crap. Every week it comes true eventually. KP, you sticking with your guy or what are you doing here?
Yeah. Well, let me look up Tim Burns. What's I mean, I know he won Valspar, but what else has he done?
He's contended like five times.
Yeah, but he missed three cuts leading into. I'm gonna go with Keith Mitchell. I'm in. Let's go, Keith. Go, dogs.
Lock it
in. Keith Mitchell for Kyle. Let's real quick. Here's what we're gonna do. We tweet out and post on Instagram all of the picks, all of the everything. So follow at First Cut Pod. We'll publish best bets, picks to win, top tens, all that stuff. But we're gonna rapid fire through our sleepers. Greg took Schwartzel. Coach, your sleeper is 150-1. Who is it?
Scott Stallings.
That's Kyle's guy. Kyle, 50-1. Your sleeper, please.
The Gim
Reaper. And I'll take Peter Uihlein, 80-1. Those are our sleepers. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter. Get all the other picks and information and everything. Gentlemen, That is our mega preview pod for this week's AT&T Byron Nelson. Any final thoughts before we kick it?
Don't forget that the golf-only episode of The Early Edge will be in everybody's feed by this evening. All even more picks from Rick G. So make sure people tune in for that.
There you go. KP, anything?
I'm excited about this week.
Me too. I really am.
McKinney's great. Wife and I go over there sometimes for they've got great restaurants there. It's it's gonna be a fun week. Great field. Pumped about it.
We didn't even talk about DJ withdrawing. I don't think does he do this more often because he early commits to so many more? Doesn't it feel like he's always the guy doing this Monday?
It does.
I think he's got like this. The way his statement was worded was like this knee injury that keeps popping. I think he has some guys have a go-to shot. I think he's just got a go-to injury when the fish are biting. He goes to the knee injury.
Maybe you don't say you have knee discomfort when you're taking backflips on Instagram off a boat. How about that? You're the number one player in the world. There are responsibilities go-to injury. For that. It is. I mean, it's just crazy. He did it 2 months ago. He's doing it again. I find it offensive. And when you commit as the number one player in the world, man, people are buying tickets to see you play. Show up. Show
to
up.
Be fair, he's not the biggest draw, though, right?
No.
Because Spieth is.
Spieth is. Bryson is. Bryson. John Rahm is.
Yeah.
But he's right there. He's right there.
You know? It's fair. It's fair.
We did talk about this the last time he withdrew. Also, I had something else on Dustin Johnson. I don't know. My go-to excuse is doctor's appointment. So if I tell you I have a doctor's appointment, that's probably a lie.
You're lying.
Yeah. Although I guess sometimes I do have doctor's appointments.
Like when Greg calls you and you text him back that you have a doctor's appointment.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, Rick, I thought about you yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw it on social media, but David Ross, the manager of the Cubs.
Former catcher.
Former catcher. I worked with him at ESPN. And he's dating the really pretty nurse from Chicago Med.
Oh.
And the headline was, has David Ross outkicked his coverage?
Oh, I was wondering how this related back to me. I was like, David Ross and I had
nervous there.
Zero in common. And then I was like, am I dating the actress from Chicago Fire or whatever? I was like, hey, where is this going right now? That's so funny.
That's awesome.
All right, gentlemen. Fun as always. Thank you to producer Jacob. He does all the hard work behind the scenes. Let me thank Coach, who you can find on Twitter at The Coach Rules. That right there, that's Kyle Porter. You can find him at Kyle Porter CBS, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.